This is the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Left foot forward for the quarterback, takes the snap, retreats in the pocket, under a rush, throws across the middle, touchdown, Rob Gronkowski, he spikes with emphasis.
The Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart is your source for the latest news and reaction following every Patriots game.
Smith from the gun, under pressure, across the middle, that pass to the near side, picked off, a juggling interception, and it's the rookie Logan Ryan on the run, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, into the end zone, touchdown, Patriots!
Join the conversation by calling the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500, or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Shotgun snap to Taylor, eludes him, and careens into the end zone, and Chandler Jones picks it up, and Chandler Jones has a touchdown.
Now, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium, here's your host, Mark Bertrand.
A 23-14 final. Patriots get a win. They move to 10-3. Welcome in, everybody, to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com. I'm your host, Mark Bertrand. I'll be joined by Paul Perillo and Andy Hart momentarily in our Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. The most important thing to take away from this game tonight for the Patriots was they were able to bounce back from a win. They were able to bounce back with a win, I should say, after losing against Green Bay last week. And this stretch of playing two games in 2 weeks on the road without making a return to Foxborough and without making a return home is a good thing. The Patriots got a win over everything else. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a pretty way of winning tonight. It wasn't their best win of the season, but it was a win nonetheless for the Patriots. And that's the, key point of this game tonight, and we will pick our way through it. There's plenty to discuss, and I'm sure we'll get tons of your thoughts on this game as well. Here's how you get involved over the course of the next 2 hours. 855-PATS-500 is the North American toll-free number here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. 855-PATS-500. That's right, 855-PATS-500. You can also send an email, and the email address is webradio@patriots.com. webradio@patriots.com. I will say this, if you're emailing in, the best way to get help us out and get the emails on the air is to try and keep them as to the point and as brief as possible, because we're trying to sort through them as we're discussing the game and talking about the game for 2 hours. So if you keep your emails to the point, the chances of it being read are, I would say, greatly improved. That's what I would suggest. So 855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500. Patriots now 10-3 with a 23-14 win over the Chargers in San Diego. Pats now 10-3, 4-3 on the road. Chargers 8-5 on the season with this loss for them tonight. It's their second home loss of the year for the San Diego Chargers. Not the best of wins for the Patriots. And I was on social media during the game, saw your tweets, people very frustrated about a number of things, which we will get to in the good, the bad, and the injured with Andy and Paul as soon as they join me in the studio, which should be any moment now. Looking at this game tonight, here's some of the key final statistics in this game. Tom Brady was 28 of 44, 317 passing, two touchdowns for him, one interception, which was a bad throw, a bad decision, and a quarterback rating tonight of 90.8. On the other side, Phillip Rivers, 20 of 33, 189, a touchdown, a pick, and a rating of 73.9 tonight. And this is the quarterback play in this game, which was a 23-14 win for the Patriots. Andy and Paul are now in the studio. Guys, your initial thoughts, I guess your biggest takeaway from this game tonight. Patriots got a win. They moved to 10-3, but as I've already said, not the prettiest way, not their best win, not even close to either of those two things.
No, but I thought it was a playoff caliber win, a game that bogged down, as happens in playoff games at times, and you have to give that defense credit. Another week where there were times where Phillip Rivers had plenty of time back there and could find nobody. So from Darrell Revis to, we saw Daron Harmon on the field, Tavon Wilson on the field, Kyle Arrington on the field, Brandon Browner, the safeties, everybody, they covered. And I think they gave – it's one of those games where they kept giving the three-and-out offense chances, and eventually Patriots made a play with Julian Edelman's touchdown.
Yeah, I totally agree with Andy. I thought this was one of those games, and I've been critical of the Patriots in the past several years for this. What do you do? How do you react when the offense doesn't bring the A game? Can you win the game? Can your defense, you know, go out and win a game for you? Well, tonight the defense went out and won a game for them. They didn't play very well on offense from start to finish. They never looked good on offense. They made one big play at the end of the game. Other than that, the defense scored all the points for them. They put them in really good field position throughout the night. They blocked a punt for them. They overcame turnovers. The defense won the game for them tonight. It was as simple as that. And that's the way you win in the playoffs, is games like that. You know, Andy just made a comment. You know, someone had asked Andy today, this morning, you know, how are the Patriots going to lose in the playoffs in Foxborough? Who's going to come into Foxborough and put 30 on the board? And Andy and I looked at each other and said, well, you don't need – that's not the question. The question is who's going to come in and play defense, because playoff games are generally 20-something to 20-something. You have to score – you have to get up around 30, I think, you know, at least once or twice in the playoffs. It's the you have to be able to score. But you know you're going to get in a rock fight. And tonight you got in a rock fight, and you won it because your defense won it for you.
And when you talk about the offense never really looking right in this game, it got to a point where things started to get scary for them, considering their first four drives of the second half were all three and outs.
Yeah, the entire third
they
quarter.
They weren't doing anything in the third quarter.
But it was both teams. There were a combined seven punts and a turnover in the third quarter. No points put on the board. Not a whole hell of a lot. I think Patriots got a first down. Their first down of the third quarter was within about 5 seconds to go. But, you know, that's what happens. And you have a defense that kept you in it. That's not a crappy offense. That's not a team that can't get out of its own way on offense. And you certainly, we saw, again, the value of Darrell Revis. Taking away, you know, you had a guy that came into the game with 72 catches. He left the game with 74 catches and three more yards than he had coming in. Darrell Revis took Keenan Allen out of the game, and that's their leading receiver. When you can do that, everything else can fall into place. And my fears heading into the game were, what did they say? Dissuade? Is that, what's the word? What's the word, Paul, at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night?
I don't know.
They were put to bed. I'd like to be put to bed, but my fears were put to bed, the loss of Dante Hightower, because I think Jamie Collins and those guys stepped up.
Jamie Collins played a really, really strong
game. Let's, I've been trying to tiptoe through saying stuff without being too definitive on who was good, who was
this.
Bad, and
let's
who was hurt.
Let's do this. Let's continue the discussion with the good, the bad, and the injured.
Now it's time for the good.
Nice!
The bad.
You don't talk to me, all right? Knock it off!
And the injured.
I've fallen. And I can't get up.
On the Patriots postgame show.
It's the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. It's time for the good, the bad, and the injured. Let's start with some of the good. I think Jamie Collins taking what we talked about prior to the game, which was really a leadership role, right? I mean, he steps in with the loss of Dante Hightower as one of the leaders on the Patriots defense. I thought he played a pretty good game tonight. He played really well in this game. I thought it was a good sign for Jamie Collins in this one.
Yeah, when you have, I'm going to read his stat line, 8 solo tackles, 9 combined, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for a loss, couple QB hits, and what we talked about is the mental aspect of it, of being the signal caller and doing all the green dot stuff. I think he has to be at the top of your list, and I think NBC agreed. As I was coming down, I noticed after Brady spoke with Michelle Tafoya postgame, they interviewed Jamie Collins. You know, I think that's probably a guy that nationally, other than that Colts game, doesn't get a lot of pub. Sort of had the preseason hype, and I haven't heard a lot of talk about him since. This was a good game on national TV for him that'll help his stock. But
I would say this is his best game
first
as
star.
A Patriot.
I wouldn't. I'd still say that Colts game was his best game as a
playoff
Patriot.
Game?
Yeah. He was pretty freaking dominant. This was close. This was good. This was very, very good, and they needed it. They needed every bit of it.
I factor in the no Mayo, no Hightower into that as well.
Yeah, that's certainly a factor because I had my concerns.
Yeah, he played really well. Let's see, what other things that stuck out to me. Listen, the secondary as a whole, but I think a lot of Keenan Allen. I disagree with the caller that we had pregame that said that he's not played very well this year. I think that he is a good receiver. He's one of the better receivers in the league. I heard Rodney Harrison call him one of the top 10 receivers in all of football earlier this week. That may be a bit of hyperbole there, but Darrell Revis completely eliminated him from the game tonight. And that was a huge factor because when you have a guy that a quarterback relies on as much as that and you just take him away, that Chargers offense is not as bad as it looked tonight. And the Patriots defense made it look bad. But Darrell Revis, again, I know we get tired of doing it every single week. He's part of the good. He just continues to make one side of the field just completely disappear.
Chargers, by the way, 4 of 13 on third down, 31%. This is a team, what we say, 9 of 11 last week.
Yep.
And a Patriots team
47% or so for the year.
Couldn't get off the field. Yeah, number 3 in the NFL in third down offense. Patriots absolutely couldn't get off the field last week, held them to 4 of 13. We just talked about it, three punts in the third quarter there to match the punts that the Patriots were putting up on offense and giving the team a chance. Okay, we still got a chance, still got a chance, still got a chance, and eventually you break through. I would include Rob Gronkowski on the good. I thought there was a stretch of this game where he was virtually the only thing that Brady had to turn to. He got them in the end zone in the second quarter on that nice back shoulder type play. I don't know what he finished with, 8 for 80 or something of that area. 8 catches, 87 yards, and a touchdown. Had the 35-yard play early in the game. I thought Gronk was a big part of this.
I thought Julian Edelman's catch on what should have been a much shorter play than it ended up being with a 69-yard touchdown catch and run there. Rob Gronkowski probably loved the yardage on that one. But that was a play that, you know, the tackling wasn't exactly great for San Diego. No. But I'll tell you, he almost got caught by the ankles and avoided that and took off and had the touchdown. He made some nice catches in this game. He finished with 8 for 141.
Yep, 17.6. He's a guy that could use that boost in average, by the way, because he was down around 9.5 or 9.6. That'll be a nice little boost for him.
So 8 for 141 for Julian Edelman and a touchdown, a pretty significant touchdown in this game for the Pats. So I would definitely include him in the good as well. What about the running backs in this game? What did you make of the running backs? We talked a little bit about it pregame. LeGarrette Blount, 20 for 66, 3.3 yards a carry in this game. It seemed like early on he was running very well.
And yeah, he went to halftime 11 for 46, 4.2 a carry, and then it just kind of
it was all in the first
down.
Drive. I believe, and I'm going to recheck this, I think he had 6 carries for 39 yards in the first drive. Beyond that, he was a complete non-factor in the game. I thought San Diego did an excellent job against the run. I thought San Diego's defense played an excellent game, period. I thought they made, with the exception of the missed tackle that you just talked about for Edelman, I thought they made the Patriots really, they put them in a lot of tough spots. The reason why they weren't converting third downs is because it was, you know, it was 3rd and 12, it was 3rd and 8. You know, there were a lot of tough situations. They got pressure on Brady, I thought. Even some of the conversions, you see Brady have to run for a pair of first downs tonight, things that he doesn't like to do. So, yeah, I thought they did a good job containing the run game.
They were better than I thought they'd be. They were. I thought the defense was better for San Diego than I would have expected they'd be in this game.
Yeah, but they sort of play. I mean, on paper, they're a pretty good defense. And on the field tonight, I thought we saw a pretty good defense. Even though I thought Gronkowski was good, I thought Eric Weddle did a pretty good job of being in his back pocket for a lot of the night. You know, they will get to some of the bad, and that involves some of the pass rush and the defensive front for the Chargers. I thought they were able to, a little bit like last week, get around Brady. You know, give Brady something to think about. Be, you know, hit his arm here, tip a ball there, bat a ball here. You know, I thought they were sort of in the mix of Brady in the passing game quite a bit.
Anything else? Anything else sticking out to you on the good side?
The good side. Ooh, the good side. I think you could, I mean, just the defense in general, I would sort of include
on
the good
side. I'm going
to
throw one in there, and it's because it was his first game back and seemed like he made himself noticeable at times, and that was Silver Salinga.
You sure it's Salinga?
It's definitely
Salinga. You definitely just wanted to say that to stick it to Micah.
Maybe it was. But
there is no doubt in my mind.
But I thought it was a good return for him.
Sure.
Thought
he was out there.
He showed up.
The fact that he was out there is a good sign, and the fact that he played, you know, what level he typically plays at, I thought was good.
Well, yes. I liked jump right he had a big hit in the run on Ryan Matthews early in the game, which we expect from him. He's a run-stopping kind of guy. Second half, I thought he did a good job of collapsing the pocket. He wasn't out there full time. You know, a lot. It was Chris Jones at times. Vince had one that he flushed Rivers out of the pocket when Rivers tried to do that little shuffle pass there to Donald Brown. And then he was involved late in the game. He shared a sack, I think, with Chris Jones. And that's not the kind of stuff. You're not expecting the pressure on the passer, I don't think, that you got from him. But, yeah, last year, late in the year, Salinga emerged as a contributing player in that run defense. And it looks like you get him back, and he made an impact tonight.
I would also include Rob Ninkovich just for another game where he goes wire to wire, had a Dan Klecko sack where he was unblocked. The Chargers were having some problems with the Patriots' interior pressures with Jamie Collins and Ayers and guys in the A-gap, and that at least once allowed Ninkovich to come free. But he had five solo tackles, couple tackles for a loss, so I would include Ninkovich for, and I think they, I wasn't really aware of this. I didn't know he has played more than any defensive lineman in football this season. 94% of the snaps they put up on the NBC broadcast.
And you know what's funny about that, if you recall, you go back, it's funny how these little storylines sort of develop. You remember a few years back, Wes Welker wasn't playing, it was Julian Edelman in that first game, and we were all talking about, wow, look at the snaps. First game of the year, Rob Ninkovich was a part-time player in Miami. And everybody was like, what's this all about? What are they trying to do here? And now you get 12 weeks later, 13 weeks later, he's leading the – what was it?
I think it was all defensive linemen
with a percentage of snaps.
94% plus of snaps.
And he was effective tonight. We thought he struggled a little bit last week, some tough spots. I thought he had a strong game tonight, although he did have, as you called it, the Dan Klecko sack where he went completely unblocked.
But you know what? Sometimes people miss the Dan Klecko sack.
Yeah.
You can't miss those.
Yeah, Jamie Collins didn't miss his either. He was unblocked on his A-gap blitz, the double A-gap blitz, Andy. Ear-hold somebody.
You'd think people would learn
the wham block.
Block that. All I see is Gruden and everybody telling me that every team does it now, so shouldn't every team have a plan for dealing with it?
Well, the really funny part for the Patriots tonight was they didn't blitz, I don't think, a ton. They just confused San Diego a ton. Some of those plays that Collins had the pressure on, they only rushed three and four guys.
Yep.
And he came in unblocked.
Good
scheme.
Kevin Collins, nope. Kevin O'Connell tweeted out that you have to have a running back block that. I don't know, but just, I figured I'd throw that out there.
The center can't? Rather than block nobody, the center couldn't block Jamie Collins?
I knew this was going to happen.
Well, I'm asking.
Pretend I said it, and I didn't say it. I'm not a quarterback.
Who had
a great career setting up blocking schemes in the National Football League for a couple different franchises.
Listen, he got the mic right once, but I'm asking, is that something?
Should I know? You know how many snaps I played
every
in my life?
Every time I go to him for like a technical football thing, I get nothing. It's like going to Eric and trying to get like a vocabulary lesson.
You know how many snaps of offensive line I played in my life?
No, but my
0.0.
But I just thought that maybe you were in a meeting or something and you might have overheard them say, listen, if they're going to come up with this pressure here, We can't ask our center to make this block. I don't know. Is that a thing? I don't know. Seems kind of weird to me. No one blocked him.
Can you ask Bedard when he's on Tuesday? He'll probably have an answer.
I'll make sure I do that.
I'd really rather find out what they're supposed to do.
So let's say this. Most of the defense we'd put into the good category. We've given you some of the good, and there might be more that we remember along the way.
Well, I was going to say Brandon Bolden for a blocked punt.
Yes.
Which also broke a punter.
broke a punter. And
my condolences go out to the Cyphers family, or however you say it.
Cyphers. Biggest play of the game.
Yeah.
Patriots were struggling.
Struggling.
Yeah, I was just watching the replay of that now, and it was a great special team play there by Bolden, and he literally killed the guy.
Marcus Smart and Cyphers, seeing who can spend more time down.
At least this guy, I'm going to assume, broke a bone.
Let's hope so, for the sake of the sport. That he did break a bone.
I was gonna go with for the sake of the profession of punting. I'm sorry, but I'm not gonna hold it against football players.
Let's hope that for the sake of the sport that there was something like that.
All right, let's get to the bad.
All right, let's get to some of the bad.
Nate Solder.
To be on the list.
Nate Solder. Hopefully Nate Solder's not on the line. Can you let us know if an offensive lineman calls in? Because I Oh, okay. Okay, good.
Well, wow. This would be good.
Good.
All right,
Brandon Browner could be joining the show.
Hopefully. But Nate Solder.
I said could be.
Well, I would love to get his reaction. I'm sure we're going to hear it just on the penalty.
Correct. And great. I'm sure it'll be entertaining because he is.
Well, he was mad.
And he also doesn't really mince words and hold back. He's
can we swear on the show? Am I allowed to swear if I wanted to? Can I use the full BS word on that
you
one?
You shouldn't.
You
I'm
should.
Just kidding. I'm not going to use it.
Yeah, but don't, you know, let's see.
Let's
what
just
he says.
Let him say.
Yeah, I want to hear him say.
Don't lead the witness.
The penalty was garbage.
It was. No question.
However, if you're watching at full speed, this
it
is,
looks like it should have been a
right,
penalty.
Right, like you look
in
at
this
it and
league,
say, oh,
in this
he
day,
crushed him.
Yeah.
That's why those plays should be reviewable. They should
and your
be.
Guy agrees, Jim Dilopoulos.
Yeah, he agreed with what I said, which is
I don't know his name.
Should be Diopolis, Jim Diopolis.
Really? It looks like more than that when you read it.
It's Jim Diopolis. It's pretty easy.
But Nate Solder struggled in run blocking a little bit, struggled in pass protection, so he's a guy that would fall under the category of needing to clean things up heading into next week.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline right now. We go out to San Diego, and joining us now on the Xbox One Patriots post-game show is Brandon Browner. Mr. Browner, welcome to the program. Thanks for the time, and congratulations on the win tonight. Your defense was obviously a big part of it.
I'm sorry, you got the wrong Brandon.
Brandon Bolden.
This is Brandon yes. Bolden.
All right. Brandon, congratulations on the win. Your block punt was obviously a huge part of it. Let's go. Let's move right along.
We were just talking about you. You broke a punter tonight.
Yes, sir.
How did
tell us about
yeah just
tell us
how did that come about? Was that anything different than a normal punt? Were you, you know, going after it, quote unquote, or did you just get the edge there and get there?
I just got the edge and got there. It wasn't anything spectacular. It wasn't like we were going after the ball. It's just, you know, things happened, and that was one of the good things. The ball kind of, let's say the ball just bounced in my lap on that one.
Did anything you, that you may have seen coming in, Donald Brown, it was a running back by trade. You beat him off the edge there. Was there anything about, you know, that you saw about him on film that you saw that maybe you thought you had an inkling coming in? If I get an opportunity tonight, I might be able to beat this guy off the edge.
You kind of go into every game, especially with design punts and design stuff that we do, that you're gonna finally get that block punt. Watching film on him, I didn't see anything special because I'm on the punt team as well, and I play the same position he does. So I was kind of looking at it to see, like, how would I beat myself? I can't say that I beat him on a special move. I just really got off on the ball very good. I've been working with guys like Chandler Jones and Vince Wilfork, just timing the ball and trying to get off on the snap, and paid off today.
What was this game like from an offensive perspective? There were times, obviously, in the third quarter where you guys bogged down a little bit. I think you had four straight punts, four straight three and outs, but the defense was doing the same thing to the Chargers and getting you guys the ball back. How impressive was that performance that you saw on the other side of the football from that defense?
That was very impressive for them to be on the field as long as they was and be able to still go out there and perform and get those three and outs. And they were big three and outs because they kept them from putting points on the board when we couldn't. So it kind of paid off because as patient as the defense was with us, we're going battling those guys going three and out because the Chargers are a very good offense. Just seeing that patience and just paying off, we finally were able to put points on the board. And that's what the defense does. Defense is there to not let the other team score more than we do. And they did excellent job.
Brandon, can you take us maybe inside the locker room at the end of the game? It looked like there was a ton of emotion that you guys spilled out there when you got the last fourth down stop and now you're going out in victory formation. It seemed like you guys were pretty jacked up. What was the scene like in the locker room?
It was a great play to end the game with Tavon Wilson. One guy I look at it like my big brother because he's a little older than me, and we came in together. So for him to make that big stop on fourth down and seeing the offense go out there in victory formation and then just everybody kind of taking that pressure from last week with that loss and then coming out to California for an entire week practicing, dealing with the heat, the time change and everything, I think we did a very good job with that. And everybody was just elated that all that hard work for an entire week paid off.
You mentioned the week of preparation in San Diego. Do you think that helped you guys coming, you know, after a loss? Some people pointed to the aspect of, you know, a good team bonding experience because you get away from home, everybody's together, and it's coming off a loss.
I think it paid off for everybody just get acclimated with the weather. With, like I said, that weather, the time change, and it did get time for everybody to kind of be around each other because we was in a hotel with each other for a week. And so it was a lot of team bonding, a lot of position bonding. Everybody got to hang out with everybody for an entire week, really. And it just built the team, beat the team camaraderie. And that's why it was such a big, such emotion at the end of that game with the defensive stopping and the offense going on victory formation.
Brandon, I'm going to ask you a question that I think I know the answer to, but I just want to ask it because we have you here. This was your team's first win on grass this year. And I'm just wondering if that was just a circumstantial thing where you guys had lost in Green Bay, in Miami, in Kansas City, or is there anything to you guys having some issues on grass? Do you prefer turf?
To be honest, football is football. We're going to play it wherever we need to play it at. We just had some bad outings on grass. We had some bad outings on grass, and we had to, you know, finally got a chance to shake back and win on grass.
Well kinda, said. That's what I thought.
That's kind of what we thought, but we figured we'd throw it out there anyway.
Yeah, it'd just be better if you backed it up for us. All right, well, Brandon Bolden, thanks for the time. Congratulations on the win again. Enjoy it, and safe travels back home.
Oh, thank you, guys.
And tell Brandon Browner we said hi, too.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot. Brandon Bolden joining us here on the Ace Ticket Hotline from San Diego after the win. Our thanks to him.
That was awkward. Glad I'm not the host to introduce the wrong guy.
I'm glad we had a I'm glad he had a very lighthearted way about it.
Said Browner on my screen. I read what's on the screen. Brandon Browner? Okay.
Guess Kevin's replacement has a little Kevin in him.
Hey, at least he'll be picking right up where Kevin left off. Right?
That's my bad.
Yeah. We know it's your bad. No, I'm just kidding.
I was a little worried.
Well, wait a minute. Whose bad was it then if it's not yours?
I swear that's what he said on the phone. But that
we got a few Brandons on this team. Could have been LaFell. Could have been.
Brandon Bolden made a big play tonight as well. So
I was actually half worried for a second that he was going to say, like, wait a minute. We won a game, and I hear you guys ripping Nate Solder.
I got to say. I'm a Brandon Bolden fan after the way he handled
that. Yes, me too.
You guys got the wrong Brandon.
And I want to give Michael Girovati credit. That's a good get.
Good for him.
As Paul said, the key to the game.
Good block.
I think it was the biggest play of the game. I really do.
I also like how he didn't try to over-scientific it. No, I just got the corner and I got the ball.
Well, and that's
fell into my lap, basically.
I was wondering just if they had gone into the game thinking that this guy might be vulnerable. And I knew that Bolden played that same spot on the punt team, so I thought that maybe...
Nah, it just kind of fell into my lap.
Yeah.
And I much prefer to see Jonas Gray or LeGarrette Blount run the ball. But, hey, Brandon Bolden, big special teams
new
player.
New pal.
I like him.
Quincy boy's got a new favorite Patriot.
Gotta get a Bolden jersey.
And then he said to the punter, I must break you.
They just showed a play on, I like how else on Channel 4.
You broke a punter tonight. Yes, I did.
I'm not sure he knew what you said exactly. Right. I think he might have thought you were just saying you blocked a punt.
Yes, I did.
Don't hold that one to him.
I broke a punter tonight. Yes, I did.
We don't need that making the rounds on the internet.
Yes, I did.
Yes, I did. I think you knew what I was saying. I think you did. All right. Where were we? We were just about to get into some of the bad. We started with Nate Solder.
Yeah, what else do we have bad? I would say the receivers tonight in general didn't do a great job of getting open against what I think is kind of a suspect secondary. I didn't think Brady had a lot of big windows to throw into tonight. Now, clearly he had a lot of pressure, so we talked about Solder already. But I thought the receivers had a hard time getting free tonight. So I don't know if I would go Edelman, LaFell, and Gronk. I didn't think they were as open as they normally are.
And I think LaFell doubly so because he had a pretty bad fumble.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty loose with the football. I think he only had four catches, and then one of those ended up with a pretty bad turnover.
And I also thought in the third, they never gave a good replay of the play, but there was a third and long in the third quarter and one of the three and outs. Mm-hmm. He came sort of sliding across the middle. And he didn't catch the ball. The ball ended up incomplete. I don't know if the throw was low or I actually looked and I thought he had a chance to catch it. I thought it was kind of a drop, but they never showed the play, you know, from the backside, you know, from behind Brady, so you could see if he had a chance to catch it or not. But, yeah, that's a good point. You know, you add in LaFell's fumble.
And I'd also add in Brady's interception in the red zone.
Oh, terrible.
Gronk, again, is big. Throw high. throw high to Gronk. And I don't know if Brady has sort of the old school, you throw high, you end up with tip balls and interceptions, fear or something. But that was underthrown to Rob Gronkowski. Never gave him a chance. That was up there with one of the worst throws that I've seen Brady make. That was a bad throw.
Bad throw. It almost seems like he hesitated in his mind there.
Something.
And then the throw came out, and it was just a terrible throw.
I mean, he was backing away. He was feeling pressure. It was all the things that we make fun of other quarterbacks about. Very uncharacteristic.
But even worse,
it was a mental thing, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Over
absolutely.
Everything else.
That's what I'm saying.
Like,
I think mentally he was feeling the pressure, backing away, and he didn't step into the three. It was very similar
bad
to the one
mental mistake
against the Colts.
See, I was going to say, I think it's way worse.
At the other end of the field. I think it's a lot worse, too.
I thought the Colts one was very physical. He was just falling away and couldn't throw it. I think this one, he just didn't throw it. And I don't really know exactly why, what he was seeing, what he was doing. I thought the way he was falling away in the Colts game, he couldn't physically get the ball there. This one, that was a bad throw.
We mentioned the penalty on Brandon Browner. How did you feel about the way he played in this game? Played in coverage.
Brandon Browner
was
in this game was okay.
He was okay.
But if I'm going to praise the whole secondary, he was a part of that.
Yeah, that's why I said he was okay. I mean, if you just go by the plays that he gave, I mean, he committed three penalties and a lot of touchdowns.
Right.
If you're just going off what happened, it wasn't just okay.
Right.
But I'm giving him just okay because I think there were a lot of other plays that he was pretty good on.
All those times that Rivers couldn't find anybody to throw
I got to give him some credit.
He was part of that.
How about
and he got hosed. By that BS call that you wanted to say.
Oh, bad call.
He got hosed on one of the three penalties.
Right.
Yeah. But, I mean, he still committed two others and allowed a touchdown and got away with another pass interference on the play before he allowed a touchdown.
Well, yeah. I mean.
And I also think the offensive pass interference on Malcolm Floyd was garbage.
Paul doles out the pass interference calls. Yeah. He got away with one.
What's wrong?
No, but he got called
according to Paul.
He got called for three penalties, one of which I think was a bad call, and that's I think we're all three in agreement. The hit was a shoulder hit.
Although I do give them a little out that live it looked
and
worse.
It looked far worse live. The hit was high. I just don't think it was high enough to draw a flag.
It was high and at full speed. You can understand why they'd make a mistake and call that the way they did. Which is why I think they need to, you know, and Bill Belichick is in favor of having everything be reviewable. He wants everything to be reviewed, and I'm
correct.
With him. Because situations like these, you could go back and look at that and say, you know what?
And that's one of those.
That wasn't really a helmet to helmet.
Now, I don't know how they would do the rules specifically, but everybody goes, oh, now you're going to have coaches challenging a holding call or whatever. You're going to have a limit. There's going to be some parameters to within it, and that's one that changes a game. With a turnover,
right,
that is overturned because of the penalty. And I don't know if they would have it because it's a turnover, it would have been an automatic review, or whether Bill would have had to challenge that. But either way, that's a dramatic play in a football game.
Now, I know that Bill is talking about including penalties, but I think the wide-sweeping change to replay should be just to adopt the college rule and have every play be reviewable. They buzz it down when they think it needs to be reviewed. This whole thing about challenges, to me, is absurd. If a team, you know, if there's four or five plays that go against the team and they're right all five times and they can't challenge it, that's wrong. That's wrong. And the college game, I think, gets it done so much faster. They do it up in the booth. They buzz it down. It takes 30 seconds and it's done. Just do it like that. Now, I know Bill wants to expand it to include penalties like that one tonight. That's a different argument.
That's what I think they should do. Injuries, there were none for the Patriots that I can think of in this game. Do they deal with any injuries?
Yeah, Andy and I were talking on the way down, and we couldn't remember one.
I don't think anyone was injured in this game. So, hey, another week closer to the end of the regular season and no injuries to speak of for the Patriots.
I will say this, though. That was a pretty physical game. I'll bet you there's some guys not feeling too great.
Bumps and bruises.
And Solder's,
everybody's hurt.
Solder's pride is probably a little bruised.
Yeah, well, Beetle.
He was a spinning top out there.
Beetle, we talk
about... At one point in the game, I just want to repeat this quick story.
Go ahead.
Andy turns to us, Paul and I, and he says, how come Nate Solder is blocking with his ass on, like, every play?
He was.
And then at one point, he continued to joke, should he be looking at the quarterback when he tries to block the guys who are coming to get him?
It was like he was blocking himself in a mirror and spun. Oh, I'm going to turn my butt to the guy now because his butt's to me. He's spinning. I'm spinning. Ooh,
it was
we're
funny.
Spinning.
It was a funny look.
It was brutal.
Well, he kept getting his back.
I bet you he doesn't find it as funny as we
no,
do.
No, it just looked funny, I'm saying, with his back to the
play. You know, when he
play.
And Googe sit down on Monday.
Based on his his game, I'm surprised he wasn't the post-game guest.
But I was just going to mention, you know, you say, like, bumps and bruises, and you move on. Well, we had a bump and bruise last week to Dante Hightower. He didn't play tonight. So you don't know right now.
Captain Wet Blanket over there. They're all hurt.
I just was simply pointing out that it was a physical game. I thought that was a pretty physical game.
And they already have
hits.
Guys that are already like, we don't know how Brandon LaFell feels after the game, or Julian Edelman feels after the game, or Kyle Arrington feels after the game, or there's a, you know, they had 10 guys, right, that were questionable coming into this game. I don't know how all those guys feel. I don't know how Ryan Wendell feels after he got blowed up on the fumble return. He got de-cleated. And 300-pound guys, when they get de-cleated, that's a lot of impact on the turf.
All right, 855-PATS-500.
Right into
855-PATS-500 is the phone number.
Are we keeping you?
Yeah, we're going to hear from Bill Belichick. We're going to hear
game.
From Tom Brady. We're going to get caught up with those guys. We're going to get to your phone calls and your emails. That is just a couple of minutes away after we take this quick timeout on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show here on Patriots.com. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's a Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Wanna split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or Tri-Corner Hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partners behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights, Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Call the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com. Now back to your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on patriots.com. Mark Bertrand, Paul Perillo, and Andy Hart talking about this win tonight for the Patriots in San Diego, which moves the Pats to 10-3 on the year. Let's get to some of your thoughts on the phones at 855-PATS-500. That's the phone number. Jump on board. No open lines right now. We are locked and loaded here, ready to go. Let's start with Trey in Memphis. Hey, Trey.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. What's up? What'd you think of tonight's game?
Great.
Oh, man. I was on the eggshells for I guess the first three quarters. And it seems as though the defense is starting the game for them. I mean, you think about it, the defense has only given up three offensive touchdowns the last three games. So, and I think that, you know, that's a good thing that they're able to step in and keep us in game, you know, because it seems like the offense is taking some steps back. I really was, as far as how much we struggled on offense, I was surprised, but then again, I mean, the San Diego Chargers, they're playing for their playoff lives. So, I mean, they pretty much gave everything they had, man. So, and you can kind of see it, I mean, but you can kind of look at their faces coming up to the midpoint in the fourth quarter. You can kind of see that, you know, they could see their defensive effort slightly fading away as far as, you know, being able to really stop us towards the end of the game to kind of, you know, keep the game real tight. So I'm surprised that we weren't able to really establish the run, but a win's a win, man. And so hopefully we're able to, you know, go ahead on and just finish the season on out and just have everything to come through Foxborough. So, Nate Solder, he's going to have to get it together, man.
Yes, he is, Trey. Yes, he is. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. You know, some of the things Trey was saying there was speaking to the quality of this win. You know, and I'm not talking about how they played, just the fact that they went on the road, they got the win.
Yeah.
And it's over a team that, as you said, you know, what you call playoff caliber.
Yep.
This win.
Playoff caliber team, opponent, playoff caliber win, playoff caliber, you know, environment on the road, business trip, all that crap. And you got, there's no beauty points, right? You maintained your hold on the number one seed in the AFC. All the rest is irrelevant. The ugliness, you know, Bill Belichick can worry about that. Can worry about Nate Solder and, you know, the two turnovers, which is apparently all he said to Michelle Tafoya coming off the field at halftime. We had two turnovers. That's all he really commented on, which glad he pointed that out. I wasn't sure I would have known that at halftime if he hadn't told me. But that's the crap he needs to worry about. The big picture, you won a game that you needed to win and you move on. Now you've got three games in the AFC to sort of take care of business and go where you want to go.
Emails come in at webradio@patriots.com. This email reads, postgame show, are we only in competition with Denver for the top seed, or can another team jump up in your view? That's from Marshall in Ohio.
In my view, it's just Denver.
That's right. How I would go.
Mathematically,
with it
absolutely, there are other chances,
right.
But in my view, it's just Denver.
I don't think it's going to happen.
Because I think the Patriots would need to lose multiple games for anybody else to get into
right.
it.
And don't forget, both Denver and New England at this point, New England with the tiebreaker over Denver, with the tiebreaker over Indianapolis, with the tiebreaker over Cincinnati, with a tiebreaker over San Diego, if it ever got to this point, which it's not going to. But they have tiebreakers, and they have a lock on the number one seed right now. I think it's down to them in Denver.
Right.
That's what it comes down to. I don't think Indy is going to jump up in there and potentially
No,
steal
again,
the
because it's
one.
Two losses.
Right.
The Patriots would need to lose twice to allow Indy, Cincinnati, any of those, Pittsburgh, Baltimore.
And Indy go perfect the rest of the way.
They would have to win out and have the Patriots lose 2 out of 3 against pathetic AFC East teams. It's just not going to happen. I'm sorry. I mean, anybody can get upset. You can lose a game. So I'm not saying the Patriots are a lock to win out. I think they will win out. But I'm not saying they're a lock to win out. But they're not going to lose twice to those teams. I almost said a bad word, Andy.
S-bum?
Poop bags.
Don't say it. Whatever you're going to say. Bad. Bad words.
Bad words. Bad words.
Bad words. Matt's in Connecticut. Hi, Matt.
Hello?
Matt, go ahead.
Hey, Matt.
Definitely, you have to watch today. You know, the offense was a heart attack for me, just the whole game. But defense collectively, I'm so glad to see someone other than Hightower step up like Jamie. It was very impressive the way he handled everything today. But outside of that, Nate Solder, inconsistent all year. And, I'm shocked really to see, really it showed after Mankins left too,
That's a friendly word to use for Nate Solder, inconsistent, because even when he's been...
He seems pretty consistent to me.
That's a friendly way of putting it, Matt, to say that he's been inconsistent. He's been more consistent than you think, and that more consistent has been bad.
And I agree with you guys. Last week, I thought the offensive line struggled.
Yeah, I did
Green
too.
Bay. I thought it struggled again tonight. And there was one play, I think it was the touchdown, the long touchdown to Edelman. They showed the replay. And they showed Solder actually did a pretty good job on Ingram. And Collinsworth was showing it, and he made the comment that it's been much better in the second half. No, it wasn't. It was better on that play, but Ingram made some plays against the run. Andy and I were like looking at each other like, why don't they run to the right? Solder could not handle Melvin Ingram in this game tonight. He couldn't even handle Dwight Freeney, who hasn't played the run well in about 12 years. He's an upfield guy, and I was a little surprised they didn't try to run behind Vollmer a little bit and just switch it up a little bit, because whatever they were doing wasn't working. That's a concern. If you have like questions about your left tackle heading into a playoff game, that's not something that's that's not settling for your offense and for Brady.
No.
Let's go to Eric in New Jersey. He's up next on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Hi, Eric.
Hey, how you guys doing? Can you hear me?
We can hear you.
Loud and clear.
Hey, guys. I wanted to just mention a few things. I think a big shout-out goes out to our defense. Definitely, I think it was a great collective effort. And, to be 13 games in, and for our defense to only give up over 22 points 4 times this late in the season, I think it's great. I think people discredit that a lot. We've only given up over 22 points over 4 times in our 13 games. I think it's great heading into our final 3 games. And I definitely think Alan Branch and Silva Silva, I think they definitely held up. I know some guys were a little hard on Alan Branch. I didn't think he was having an impact, but I definitely think this was a game for the trenches. What do you guys take on that?
Yeah, I think Alan Branch has been fine. I think he's been fine. I just don't think you can run him out there, 40 snaps a game, 50 snaps a game. I think he is a situational guy. You want him out there in running situations, and he has really done that nicely where he's had whatever dozen, 15 snaps, and now you have depth there, you have bodies, and I think you now can kind of pick and choose the situations when you want guys out there, Chris Jones, Silver Salinga, Alan Branch, Vince Wilfork, and pair people up maybe for different situations based on size and athleticism.
Let's go to some of the emails. webradio@patriots.com, the email address. Guess who we heard from via email just minutes ago? Our guy from Oregon, Micah. Micah's back.
And what's he say? Micah's a he?
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. He writes,
I wonder if he's, did he, you think he emailed Collinsworth and ripped him too? for calling him Salinga?
No, I don't think he did, because he wrote, hey, guys, great coverage on the PPGS. In response to your ripping me a new one about Salinga, okay, you got me. Thanks for setting me straight. I'll never doubt you again.
Well played, Micah.
My note from the game, defense. Did you guys see the edge they played with after the bogus flag that negated the interception by McCourty? I loved it. It's an attitude that could win us a championship. What did you think of Collins as a play caller? I thought he was great. I loved how aggressive the defense was tonight. Go Pats. Micah, a.k.a. the a-hole in Oregon.
I thought the defense was outstanding. I thought they played really well. I thought they would play great before that penalty. I didn't really notice any. I think that they were locked in tonight. You know, as Jeff in Vegas likes to say, lock it in. I thought they were just locked in tonight, and they want a football game for the
speaking.
For them
speaking of the penalty, another email reads
2,000 units.
Reads, Jeff, lunch on Tuesday. I'll take a chicken parm calzone.
Hey guys, one quick question: do you guys think Browner deserves to be paid the way he is, with all of his penalties? Doesn't it hurt the team a lot, or does it kind of make it worth it with his physical and somewhat coverage skills? I think he does not deserve the money, but I like to have him on this team. What's your take?
How much money does he make?
By the way,
a million bucks.
He writes, by the way, as always, you guys are global from that Brazilian guy again.
I think he makes like $3 million, something like that. It was a three-year, $3 million deal.
It's not a break-the-bank type of deal.
I don't think it's anything out of the ordinary. I think he's certainly earning his money. I think that he does provide good coverage that goes with the penalties. And Andy talked about it earlier. I mean, if you're going to sit there and say he's costing you penalties, you also have to sit there and say when Philip Rivers is back there for 8 seconds, I think, on the first or second pass of the game, and there's no one to throw to, he's got to be doing something right along with Revis and the other guys. So I think he's earned his money. I'm a little critical of Browner because I think that he gets a lot of penalties, and I think that he doesn't have to. I think he's so big, I don't think he needs to have his hands all over the receivers all the time. But I think he's played pretty well, and I think he's getting better.
Brad in Maine writes, hey, guys, great win tonight in a hard-fought game. I love how stout the defense played. I am mildly concerned about the offensive production tonight, though. This is the second game in a row that the team has struggled. Lights-out game by Revis again, completely taking out Keenan Allen. Solder, again, horrible game. Go Pats, on to Miami. That's from Brad in Maine. Another email reads, hey, guys, great show as usual. The offense was offensive again. Play calling was nonsensical. Is it just me? Or have they not looked right since the bye? Great to see Brady's passion on those runs, especially contrasted with Orton's slide for a loss on 3rd-and-1 today. Great defensive win, though. Good pressure, good coverage. Collins was a beast. Not feeling too great about this one, but I'm on to Miami. Keep up the great work. Mike in London, Ontario. What about the play calling? What about Josh McDaniels in this game? That seems to me like one of the biggest complaints that I saw during the course of the game from fans on Twitter. We've received some emails about it in the postgame here as well. What do we make of Josh McDaniels and his performance tonight?
I thought the first drive was terrible, the way he ended it. I thought they started off trying to run the ball a couple of times, and it was two terrible runs. And then they got going, they passed a couple times, and he went right back to the run. And I was like, wow, he showed some patience with it. He didn't just let a couple of bad runs discourage him. And then Blunt got going, they went down the field, mixing, matching, a couple of those play, you know, those quick play actions that Brady pulls it out, quick dart over the middle for like 12, 15 yards. They get first and goal from the 10. Blunt runs 9 yards to the 1 yard line, and they throw the ball twice. They try to hit Devlin in the flat. The ball got deflected by a defensive lineman. The next play was Melvin Ingram's sack on 3rd-and-goal, and they end up having to kick a field goal. And I felt like, Beadle, they didn't get any offensive flow going again after that drive all the way until the fourth quarter when they finally took the drive to take the lead. And they kicked the field goal early in the fourth quarter to take the 16-14 lead. I think they went the better part of 2.5 quarters really kind of fighting it. And I think that part of it was they got themselves out of their rhythm on that drive, and they never really ran the ball well again the rest of the night after that. Now, so who knows? Maybe they would have gotten bottled up on the goal line if they had tried to run. But I felt like those were some questionable calls there.
855-PATS-500, 855-PATS-500, the email address for you. Murray in Halifax, Nova Scotia writes in, glad to see the defense showed up tonight, guys, but, man, we need to wake up on offense or we're not going anywhere in January. To build off what you were just talking about, Paul, Murray writes this, I'm curious if you guys think it's more bad play calling or it's bad execution. So let's ask the question like this. Is the issue, if you had to pick one or the other, right? And I think we all would say, you know, well, there's a combination of things. If you had to pick one or the other as the biggest problem, what are you picking? Play calling or execution?
I would say execution. The offensive line the last two games to me has not played that well. And I think that's where it starts.
There's just so few times that I would pick play calling over execution.
Andy would never. Right. Andy's like that all the time.
I just don't know that.
But I think Paul's right.
That.
When you have second and goal from the one, and you have Rob Gronkowski, by the way, in your back pocket, the best red zone target in the NFL in your back pocket, just run the damn ball.
Yeah. Now those
you have LeGarrette Blunt.
Those particular plays I hated.
No, I know. But that's what I'm saying. But if you run the ball there and score, you eliminate a third down sack. Not only do you eliminate a field goal, you eliminate a third down sack. And you know my whole theory on the butterfly effect. Those things all play together. You give up a sack, and that's in your head. That's in Brady's head. That's in Solder's head. You know what I mean? That all plays out in a totally different way. And if you get stuffed, I still have Rob Gronkowski on third down. I feel pretty good at third and one with Rob Gronkowski, right?
Absolutely.
So it gets back to last week, sometimes just the overthinking. Or sometimes Paul thinks they get him cheap touchdown passes for Brady, whatever it may be.
Sometimes we have off-air conversations that don't necessarily need to be on the air.
Well, we've talked about that on the air.
Well,
I'm
sure you've made fun of me about that.
Another really good email here from Doug in New Jersey, longtime listener, writes in, hey, all, Doug from New Jersey, this is a game. They would have lost.
Another email from Doug in New Jersey. Hey, it's Frank from Gloucester. Wait, what?
Do you know Jake?
You're Doug in New Jersey.
Do you know Jake from State Farm?
This is a game they would have lost in previous years, but now we have a D that holds up and owns their own end of the bargain.
Yep.
It's a good point. This game is the type of game that in the last 4 or 5 years you see they go on the road and all of a sudden they have a down game offensively. Defense is letting up points because they can't keep it together and they lose. And that is one of the things that I think has really changed for this team with the additions they've made on defense.
So the good thing is your defense is better.
The bad thing is you haven't still sorted out the issues on offense.
Your offense has been in the 20s for two straight weeks here and has had three and outs to start games, three and outs to start halves. A little sputtering going on.
I think I'm telling you, it gets back to the offensive line.
Yes.
And I think that the last 2 weeks, we've seen some leaks a little bit. I think we've seen some trouble running the ball and some trouble protecting the passer. And those two things worked in concert, I thought, early in the year. All through September when the offensive line was jumbled, that was the root of the problem.
Right.
And then it got straightened out a little bit. The offense took off. Now we're struggling again. I think that the difference is they have more, you have a healthy Gronkowski who's dominating, and you didn't have that then. And you have Brandon LaFell, who's a part of the offense now, and he wasn't in September. That's what makes, 23 points is enough to win the game tonight.
Although Gronk did get blown up by, that was Ingram that blew him up, right?
I can never remember him getting knocked off his pins like that.
And that was Ingram, right?
I don't remember who hit him.
Pretty sure it was Ingram.
Can you?
Ingram had a pretty damn good game.
He's a good player because why, Andy? I'm going to pull an Andy here on this one. Who loved him in the draft?
Andy.
I did.
Oh.
Thank you.
Oh, okay, Paul.
No, that's just a big Andyism. Every single guy he likes in the draft, he's the only one that liked him, He's the only one that thought Gronkowski could play. Did you know that?
Is that right?
No. I was the first one who thought Gronkowski
No, you were the only one.
Who knew?
No, other people came around.
Came around.
See? See?
Came around. Oh, okay, Andy. All right. I'm just thinking out loud here, so correct me if I'm wrong. Next week, the Patriots with a win will clinch the division, right?
Yes.
That's the way it works. You have Miami and Buffalo both.
They'll have a three-game lead with two games left.
Right.
Hats and T-shirt, baby!
Hats and T-shirts.
Hats and T-shirt
game
next week against Miami. They will have an opportunity to clinch the division.
No. Rephrase that. They will clinch the division.
I mean, in all seriousness, they clinched the division.
Ain't going to be no upset, Gillette Stadium.
They clinched the division on, week two.
Ain't going to be no more Miami losses.
When Miami followed up the Patriots' win with a loss to Buffalo, the Patriots clinched the division because that ensured to all watching that it was the same old Miami Dolphins.
855-PATS-500. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Tim in Colorado. Hi, Tim.
Hello?
Tim, go ahead. You're
Timmy.
On the air.
Oh, hey.
Hey.
You guys still there?
Yes,
go ahead.
There? You still there?
I'm out here in Colorado.
We know that.
Weed's legal, huh?
People are, well, yeah, of course, but I'll tell you, people are a little bit scared of this Patriots team right now, and I don't blame them. You know why?
Because Brandon Browner will knock your head off.
Basically, we finally have a physical president. And Andy, were you saying that, man, when we start smoking people physically in the mind, we're like a Seattle team, and we have a chance of going all the way. This is a different team. We haven't had this since 2003. Do you agree with me?
This defense is the best since then.
2004?
Well, 2003, 2004.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, all right. Oh,
yeah, 2003 was the best of those 2 years, but I kind of lump them together as one championship core defense.
That was Tim in Colorado. Let's go to Bill
where
in Colorado.
Where he agreed, yes, yeah. Weed is legal.
Hey, Bill, what do you got in Colorado?
Hey, gentlemen, actually, I think Tim was high.
Yeah, no,
I do too.
I don't think that would be a stretch.
You think?
Right there, but this is actually Jake from State Farm.
What do you want?
So, gentlemen, hey, honestly, you guys are the best in the business. First, I just want to talk about a couple points. Paul, you were spot on about the play call in the first drive. I'm curious what the heck happened with the running game. We talked last week in Green Bay. I felt like the Patriots got away from the running game when they were down some scores. I just wanted to see Devlin, Blunt, and Gray, Hooman, and Gronk, and just go at it and just in power football in the first half. And they seemed to get away from that, even though they were down at halftime, 14-13, a 1-point game, and they just went right back to shotgun throwing the ball.
I thought they ran it enough. They just didn't run it well after that first drive. And I think that, you know, Andy just made the point about the sack that you allow, and that sort of set the stage for San Diego getting pressure on Brady all night. I think that the way they were running the ball, if they had just run it into the end zone, maybe they would have continued to run the ball well. I think they stopped their own run game by throwing the ball in there. I mean, Blunt ended up with 20 carries in this game.
For what, 70 yards, I think?
No, he didn't run. He didn't run very well at all. 20 carries for 66 yards.
He had some stretched out runs, but it's just,
yeah, I know. But he only averaged 3.3 yards a carry.
He got stuffed up a lot. Although I will,
a lot of negative runs.
He
tonight.
Had a lot of runs last year that were like that. He had a lot of games last year people forget about where it was 2-2-0-40.
Absolutely.
He has a little bit of that style to him.
Yeah, except for tonight, they didn't get any of the benefit from it.
No,
it seems like the offensive line pushes forward great, but when they have to sit back and block for the run, it seems like, or for the pass, it seems like they were starting to collapse again, like you saw in Kansas City, which isn't a good sign. But with regards to Brady, I'm sure he's going to get killed in the media tomorrow. I thought he showed some poise. But outside of Edelman, Gronk, and LaFell, some of these other teams like, you know, Green Bay and like San Diego showed tonight, they have that fourth receiver. I'm concerned about that point going forward. But finally, my last point was about the defense. You got Branch, Salinga, and Vince. I thought a gold star for Collins and Casillas, underweight but athletic linebackers, showed a lot of poise stretching the field out from left to right, covering that tight end with not the tight end that got knocked out, but of course Gates. But I don't know. I got some concerns, but I'm just concerned more importantly about the offense and going away from the running game. Thoughts?
I am not yet concerned about the offense. The offensive line the last 2 weeks, just the vision in my head, and I think Brady has it in his head too, only it's the back of his head, of the guy getting the corner on Solder. That is my biggest concern right now, probably for this team in general. You know how the concerns sort of change week to week for a while? Could they run was a question. Could they stop the run was a question. Right now it's, can Nate Solder give Brady time or comfort to do his job? And for 2 weeks in a row, the answer has been no.
And tonight it was kind of glaring again.
Resounding.
I mean, it was pretty obvious to anyone who had been watching that game. Let's go back to our buddy Chester in Portland, who's not in Portland. Chester, what's happening?
Hey, what's up, guys? What an absolutely phenomenal weekend. I cannot say enough about how this shook out. And, man, you know, I got to say, a little nervous situation going into halftime, but not at any point did I feel like we lost sight of this game as a team. You know, it's always tough to win on the road. But yeah, I agree with your point. You know, in terms of our running game getting stymied with you by not running it in on that first drive. And everybody in the crowd was just wondering why the hell we gave up on the run, you know, on that first drive. But to me, game ball goes to defense. You know, shutout in that second half. I mean, that was a really a fantastic silver lining for me. And as we march forward, it's just great to know that we've got what it takes to withstand the test of time in hostile territory. So, can't say enough. I just got to give a huge shout out to PFW Elite.
Yeah!
And also to our Band Nation on the West Coast. We came to represent, and that crowd was phenomenal. This Path Nation is really something special, and I'm just glad to be a part of it. And you guys take it easy. I'll talk to you Tuesday.
Okay. All right, Chester. Sounds
we,
like
we do have to give them credit. The Brady chants in San Diego, the cheers that Fred was talking about right from Brady taking the field for pregame warmups. That was a nice job by the
hostile takeover.
Travel squad.
The travel squad.
Maybe we need those people to come here for home games.
Yes.
We need the PFW Elite to take over.
We also need
Foxborough.
We also need a parking lot pre and post game show is what we need, Andy.
I think that would be phenomenal.
We should have done this show tonight from San Diego.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, in the parking lot, pre-post, the whole
thing. I'd be happy to do that. We should take this on the road.
I think we should.
Madden Cruiser-esque with a trailer that pops down into like a stage.
On top of it, I think we should pick a different tailgate every week, right? Because there's a lot of big tailgate groups that come to the home games here at Gillette, and we do our broadcast from a different tailgate every week.
I love it.
How social would that be?
That would be as social as you could get.
So that's getting social.
I'm all for it. Make it happen. You're the big-time radio guy. Get some sponsors. Make it happen. Get us a stage and a setup that's mobile. I want to do the first one from that pizza oven.
We should just get a little RV.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so we don't need to like go set up under a tent. We don't need a tent.
No, an RV with a little awning.
Yes.
Boom, we're right outside of it. We'll get a screen, a flat screen. They all come with flat screens now.
I think we should do it inside the RV. Stay out of the elements.
That is true.
A lot of radio equipment and stuff.
Well, we could do either or both.
But you know what, though? We'll have big windows.
Yeah.
Big windows.
I need to see the people. They need to see
right,
me.
Right, exactly.
I'm a man of the people.
Big windows is what we're going to go for.
I think we need to do this. At the very least, we could do it for all home games and maybe a couple other games a year. We drive to New York. We drive to Buffalo.
Easy.
We might not be able to drive to San Diego, but
we'll be like Madden.
We just made it so we could do 10 games a year, bare minimum.
We'll call it the PPGS bus.
I like it.
You got some good ideas for next season right here.
You got any friends that own an RV place? 1-800-RV?
We have to talk to those people.
Because that would be pretty sick.
It would be awesome.
Paul doesn't care for this, I bet. Now we're road tripping to New York and Buffalo.
Paul doesn't like to do stuff.
He doesn't. He's such an old curmudgeon. Coot, I believe, is the word. Oh, cute.
He's so mad at us right now for saying these things. Who's driving the RV?
Paul.
Andy and I are going to be drunk in the back.
I'll be drinking Miller Lights or whatever beer sponsor
I'm
wants
to be. I'm
just
trying to envision Andy on a road trip with people.
Oh, it'd be terrible.
That's why I kind of liked his idea of having the RV. It has a door and a lock.
He'd have red velvet ropes all around the RV.
Just make sure that glass is break-proof.
Yeah. There's a lot of people that would want to kill you.
I actually think that would be a lot of fun. That's not
really
a terrible
would.
Idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Literally, 10 games a year we could lock in. We would do 8 home games here at New York and at Buffalo, right? And then you mix in other ones that are possibilities at Washington, at Philly.
That's 10 guaranteed games a
right.
year. The Buffalo one kind of sucks.
Pennsylvania we could drive to.
It's a long ride. It's a crappy place to go.
Yeah.
We could do any of the Pennsylvanias, too.
Like, I would rather drive to a potential Pittsburgh game instead of going to Buffalo.
I think we need to bring this up.
Why do we want to do this?
Because I think it'd be cool. Do it from various Patriot
tailgates.
Oh,
I don't know, because it's fun.
Right. It would make us even more social, more global.
I have no
idea about the logistics, by the way,
like,
ISDN lines, phone lines,
if we could
calls.
Get, like, beers and wings and whatnot, that's fun to me. Like, just making an 8-hour drive to do a radio show and not being able to, like, you know, get liquored up, that doesn't sound fun to me.
Can't you get high on the energy of the crowd and being in the
atmosphere?
We're
going to get there on Saturday so you can get drunk.
Saturday.
Right.
And we're going to arrive on Saturday for the pregame festivities.
And then we drive back after the game.
Yeah, but I was talking about the game. Like, that's fun. Like, see, you hear those guys that just called in? Those guys sounded like they had fun.
You can't drink during games.
On Sundays,
no, I know.
We won't crack
so
the
why
beers
do I want
until
to travel?
After the game
right.
ends.
So why do I want to travel?
For the atmosphere and the energy of doing it
yeah,
live.
That's not
from the
fun.
See, okay. Yeah. Most people would kill for that. They would kill for a job like that. It's all right. It's all
right. The job that we do right here.
Yeah.
I think this is fun.
It is fun. But
I don't find the eight-hour ride fun.
Yeah, maybe the eight-hour ride doesn't happen. How about doing it here in the parking lot?
Oh, that's fine.
All right.
Well, I'm done with that.
We've only talked about 1 8-hour ride.
Yeah, and it's kind of I would kind of vote to eliminate it.
Okay. See? You're with at the wrong of that?
No, but I'm going to MetLife.
Unbelievable.
That's a good one.
That's like a 4-hour
ride.
It's
like a 4-hour ride, and it's a good place to go. Good stadium, you know, good atmosphere there, all that stuff.
I think we need to look into this.
I think it's like a jail cell. I don't really think it's a great stadium.
I don't really either. It's ugly.
It's still one that
it's
I
like they put
like
aluminum siding on it.
Yeah, that part does look a little weird. Yeah, I'm not going to lie.
Let's just talked him out of it. Great stadium. Yeah, that part's a little weird.
After destroying me. Oh, yeah. No, I'm all for taking off the 8-hour ride.
Two sentences later, he eliminated Buffalo.
Out in this parking lot right here? I'm all for that. That's fine.
If they go to Philadelphia at any point, Philadelphia is in the rotation.
Philly, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Washington.
Yeah, all those.
They're all in the mix.
Like, I would skip Buffalo, though. Screw Buffalo.
Okay, so we won't do Buffalo. You guys can get off your high horse. We don't have to go to Buffalo.
Just letting you know now.
Yeah.
I'm sick that week.
Okay. John's in North Carolina. Hi, John.
How do you know?
I don't know.
What's up?
Great stuff. I just had three quick points. Let me talk fast. Number one, I'm tired of Hooman blocking so bad. I mean, I got emails I sent to you guys in September and October about his blocking.
You save emails.
And then the second point is the Dolphins are next week. Some Dolphins player was yelling and screaming at Philbin on the sidelines today. I didn't see it, but I heard him talking about it.
Yelling at who?
Philbin.
The coach of the Dolphins.
Philbin. Oh, okay.
Joe Philbin.
They had a player that was screaming at him on the sidelines, supposedly. That's what they said, but I didn't see what it either.
Yeah, I don't really, and Paul knows this, I have never been impressed with Philbin's ability to own a room and sort of present himself as the dictator or the leader or whatever, the man in charge of a football team. So it would not surprise me at any point if somebody oversteps their bounds and doesn't respect him.
He was they were losing a close game in the fourth quarter, or whatever. And the player supposedly was, you know, one thing they understood him saying was every week this happens to us every week when he was yelling at Phil.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
So that's good news for us.
Well, yeah, that ship is sinking. They don't have a quarterback.
I wouldn't.
A coach.
I wouldn't worry about anything that's going on in Miami anyway. No, I'm not trying to be a smart guy. I'm being serious. I mean, you have a two-game lead. They're not a very good team. They're 7-6. It's just an average middling team. It remains the biggest advantage that the Patriots have. They have three utterly inept teams in their division every year, and it allows you to sort of find your way in September without the fear of falling behind in the division because the teams stink, and Miami stinks. They have talent, but they stink, if that makes any sense.
The other thing was somebody said, I think it might have been Eric reading one of the emails. Somebody said that Collins had that was doing the signal, had the mic. I read that Casillas was the one that had the green dot.
Yeah, I don't.
Yeah, I think that was.
That was not the case. I saw Casillas. He did not have a green dot on.
Okay, it was an erroneous report.
Yeah, I think that was Tom Curran's erroneous report.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right, see you.
All right, John. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Ombudsman Andy Hart with that update there. The erroneous report.
Thank you, Andy. You filled everyone in with the correct information.
I think that's what we do, isn't it?
That's what you strive to do.
And I would hope people would do the same with me. If I get something wrong, tell people that it was wrong.
You wouldn't take it personally?
I wouldn't. I'm not sensitive. I'm not a sensitive little bitch.
And that's the Andy I know. 855-PATS-500. One open phone line for you right now. Somebody grab it. 855-PATS-500. It's not going to last. You might want to get it. And webradio@patriots.com. That's the email address. And we come back on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. We're going to hear from both Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. I am told they were very brief in their postgame comments. Very brief. Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches like Bill Belichick and players across the league use their Surface tablets to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans, do more. Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they're on the way next.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No, pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look,
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument of flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only at participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie, three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
I say 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it in hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call *NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots. Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Got a question for Beadle? Call him on the Ace Ticket hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email him at webradio@patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show and your host, Mark Bertrand.
Welcome back to the program. Patriots now 10-3 after a win over the Chargers, 23-14 the final tonight. Gear up for the season and shop the Patriots Pro Shop for the widest selection of jerseys, hats, tees, and more. The Patriots Pro Shop, located next to Gillette Stadium, and Pro Shop Collection at Patriot Place are open Monday through Saturday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., or Shop online 24/7 at PatriotsProShop.com. The Patriots Pro Shop, your team, your store. All right, let's get to the post-game comments from the head coach, Mr. Bill Belichick, after this win tonight for his team. His team still in command of the number one seed in the AFC. And here's what Bill Belichick had to say after the win in San Diego.
And, you know, I thought our defensive line front did a good job. Big interception by Akeem. So I had a lot of guys make plays there. And a couple guys at the end there. You know, obviously Edelman's play was a tremendous play, throw and catch and run. And, you know, LeGarrette gave us a big run there at the end to kind of change the field position to put the game away. But you know, I thought we hung in there and battled. Obviously a big play by Bolden on the block punt. I thought Danny did a real good job handling those punts and, you know, creating some field position for us there. So, really proud of the way our team performed. You know, a good week of preparation out here in California, and they really played hard tonight. So, it was a good win for us.
So Julian and Hightower both fought to get back in that game last week at Green Bay. Obviously, Julian won tonight, sparked you guys late in the game, kind of gave you that separation. But with Hightower being down, how big was Casillas wearing a green dot as far as communication?
Well, actually, Jamie had it, but, you know, Casillas was, you know, I mean, I would say right in the middle of a lot of communication there. Both of them did a great job. You know, Julian's he's such a tough kid. He almost broke that punt return. But, you know, made a lot of tough catches for us, not just the touchdown, but, you know, a lot of tough catches inside and ran well with the ball after the catch. So, we had a lot of guys step up. Rob, Julian, you know, Blunt, offensive line. You know, Brady came back and, you know, made a couple big throws there in the second half. So it was a good team effort.
Yeah, Bill, how important was that? Obviously, the play to Edelman. And, you know, it seemed like Tom just kept grinding and grinding before they could get something to go.
It was a great catch and run by Julian. And that's, it was a good, you know, good look on the play action pass. You know, we had some space there. Tom, you know, threw it in there. It was a good high throw. Julian went up and got it and, you know, broke a tackle and finished the play, got a good block from Afel, looked like kind of going in. So it was good. Good job of hustling, finishing the play. And that was a huge play, obviously.
What's your special teams? I mean, obviously, Ryan Allen had a good night and then Bolden with the huge punt.
Exactly. Again, Amendola and Julian handling those balls. We had a couple short punts there. I thought that they handled them well. Got a couple good punt coverage plays as well to get some field position. We had a good couple good kickoff coverage plays where it looked like we got them, you know, down there inside the 20-yard line. So put our defense on a long field a lot, and our defense did a good job there in that third quarter of maintaining that good field position for three or four series, whatever it was. It was important for us.
It's a game of emotion. It seems like your team responded after the Brandon Browner hit on a replay. It looked just textbook defensive football. Good solid hit, dislodges the ball. You guys were able to put it behind it, whether it was a good call or a bad call or not. It just seemed it sparked your team from there. It just seemed emotionally charged it.
Yeah, well, those guys played hard all night, but I thought defensively, you know, we really competed. It wasn't perfect, and they got some good football players that are hard to stop, but I thought those guys competed for 60 minutes, so I was really proud of them.
What are your thoughts on 12 straight seasons, 10 or more wins? Consistency is always something you strive for.
Yeah, I mean, right now, you know, our goal, we got to get ready for Miami. That's a big thing for us. You know, they handled us down there in the opener, and so you know, we'll enjoy this one for a little while, but we gotta turn the page. We got a big, you know, three big division games left at the end of our season, obviously, but the only one that really matters now is Miami. And you know, they got us down there the last time. We're gonna have to coach a lot better than we coached in that opener if we're gonna win. So I'm gonna have to do a better job, and that's really where I'm at right now.
How much do you think the week here in San Diego helped this team?
I thought it was the best thing we could do. You know, I thought the last 2 days were really the most important part of the trip because we didn't have to have the cross-country trip. We're already out here. We got a lot of rest. We had a couple of good days of preparation on Friday and Saturday. And, I thought we played hard tonight. We had a lot. It seemed like we were rested. We had a lot of energy. We certainly played full 60 minutes. And that's what you got to do against the Chargers. They're in a lot of close games. They've been in more than anybody. And, you know, this one, I mean, the game was obviously nowhere near decided in the middle of the fourth quarter. It was a, you know, hard-fought game.
It's Patriots head coach Bill Belichick after the win tonight. Back to the green dot issue, which we had talked about just a couple of minutes ago. Mike in Nova Scotia emailed in with a little update on that, saying that Mike Reese had reported that Casillas was fitted for the green dot helmet prior to the game, mentioning that it was in case they needed a backup.
Yes, there's
Jamie
always
Collins
backup.
Had to leave the
there's
field,
always multiples.
But Casillas was the backup guy.
Yeah.
At no point in the game was he the guy.
Every time I saw him, every time I saw him, he did not have a green dot on his helmet.
And that's why I read it, because you heard Bill Belichick right there say, it was Scott Zolak who had thought that Casillas was the guy, and that was one reporter earlier in the game that said he was. But Mike Reese had also had a report saying he was the backup for the game, and maybe that's where, just trying to explain where some of the confusion may have come from. But it was, in fact, Jamie Collins, and so Jamie Collins does get the credit for using that dot and, you know,
for kicking ass, taking names, and calling plays.
Doing a hell of a job tonight. That's what I would say. Doing a hell of a job. Brandon from Ohio writes in, why did the crowd, sound very Patriot-friendly tonight in San Diego? I think Patriots fans were well represented.
A lot of Patriots fans.
A lot of traveling Patriots fans in that stadium tonight, Qualcomm Stadium, for obvious reasons. It's a warm weather place, beautiful place to visit, and it's December in cold weather places. Makes for a perfect getaway trip. Perfect getaway. Little weekend getaway. Watch some football. Someone writes in wanting to let us know that the guy from Colorado sounded baked, which I think we would agree with. We would agree with that. Also, stick to the short stuff. Tom Brady, throw darts, not arrows. I would say that would be some solid advice, solid football advice right there. Let's go back to the phone calls quickly before we hear from Tom Brady. That's just a minute away. We go to Melvin in Tennessee. What's up, Melvin?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
What's going on?
Man, not too much. Big win. The thing, like I say, that I think I called before and said this, like the start, and that's not only the start to the game, but the start also in the second half. That stuff like that, you know, gets me really nervous. And then, I mean, anybody can compete with you when you come out. That lack of energy, I guess, starting the second half too, you know, stuff like that's really concerning, I guess, to me, going into this part of the season, because in about, you know, 3 or 4 more weeks, you'll be playing the big time teams, and you can't do that at home, away, anywhere. You can't have slow starts to teams like that, because teams like that will beat you. Other than that, I just feel like the defense played well just tonight. I wasn't feeling overconfident. I feel like the Chargers were a good team. I just feel like the Patriots were better. So that's just kind of my take from it. And I feel like these last 4 weeks, we should beat all 4 of these teams. If we want to be elite, we want to say we're going to. We talked about Arizona. We're going to talk about being number one. If you want to be number one, you have to beat teams like this. They're a good team. You should be able to go in the house and handle it. It's going to be a hard-fought game. So this is my take on it. But I'll talk to all y'all later.
All right, thanks, Melvin. I'm with them. I mean, I think they're better teams. The offense. Andy mentioned something about 20 minutes ago or so. I'm not to the point yet that I'm concerned about the offense, while at the same time not blind to the fact that the offense has not been as sharp the last 2 weeks for sure. And I would even go back to the Detroit game at home here. It was not vintage offense to me that day, even though that I think they ended up with 34 points that day. Then, you know, the point totals and the yardage and everything looked gaudy, but I didn't think it was as crisp that day as it had been prior to that.
But so, that day was, we said, oh, that's the best defense in football, that's this, that's that. But now when it's 3 weeks in a row and it's a not-so-good defense, a decent defense, a good defense, now it's a trend.
Today was particularly bad, I thought, because of the unbelievable field position that they enjoyed all day. They had a short field on the block punt for a 25-yard drive. They took over. I have some numbers here because I wrote about this.
I can tell you right now if you want
them. They took over at the 39, the 48, and the 44 in a span of 4 possessions, late second quarter into the third quarter. And they came away with 0 points on those drives. Taking over at the 39, the 48, and the 44.
30 said the one where they took over on the 39 was the Brady pick.
Yes.
The ones that started at the 48 and the 44 were both 3 and out.
Right, and in between that was the opening drive of the second half. They took over on their own 20 or whatever it was.
19,
and they didn't score on that. They went 3 and out on that drive too. But that's really good field position. It's hard to have an offense like the Patriots and take over at midfield and not score. They did it almost twice today, 48 and 44 yard line. Today was not a good offensive day, no question.
They went backwards on the one where they took over at the 44. They lost 4 yards during the course of that three and out series. Email from Anthony in Seattle. He writes, "Hey guys, first off, I want to thank you for what you guys do. I really enjoy all the content that you guys put out. I live in Seattle, so all of my friends are Seahawks fans, and I have nobody to talk to about the Patriots. Anyway, this
you
was
have a- us to talk to. We're always here for you.
Well, that's why he's writing us an email. This was a sloppy win, but at the end of the day, you won on the road against a good team coming off a loss. This win really gives me a confidence boost, even with all of the penalties, misplays, and mistakes. What do you think right now is the biggest factor affecting the offense's consistency? If you had to say one thing.
Pressure.
It's got to be the offensive line.
Yeah.
Has to be the answer. And that has been.
And if you want me to boil it down more, I think it's Solder. I think it's that backside, uncomfortable, turning the corner every freaking play last week and this week. It felt like there was a guy coming, and I think Brady sees that. He feels that, and that sort of derails everything.
Which is, as we discussed earlier, Paul, probably the reason behind the interception.
Yeah, I think he felt the pressure, and he was looking to get rid of the ball.
And it led to a bad throw, a bad mental error there. Back to a previous email just a couple of minutes ago about the crowd in San Diego and a lot of Patriots fans out there in San Diego for the game. Shane Vereen tweeted, just a short time ago, it sounded like a home game out there. Huge, and he's got the clapping emoticons there.
I completely disagree with that.
Huge applause to Patriots Nation.
Why it was loud.
Stand much louder up. Than a home game.
They did have the Brady chant going at the end of the game. You could hear that on TV. Patriots scored. It was loud. It was definitely a friendly environment for the Patriots in San Diego. A friendly environment for Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. TB12 stepped to the podium after the game tonight, and here is what the Patriots quarterback had to say. Here's Tom.
Tough winning on the road, especially against a team that's 8-4, so it was a big win.
What were you thinking on the throw to Julian, and how happy were you to see him break it 69 yards?
Great play. It was a good opportunity for us to throw it. They were, pretty heavy on the run, and, we found a little spot to throw it, and Jules made a great catch and run, so we needed that type of play at that point in the game, and, defense took over from there.
Hey, you've talked about play action in the past. How important was it to be able to use it in that critical situation?
It's so important, because you can separate the defense, especially when you're running it like we were doing it. And LeGarrette had another great game. Jonas ran hard. Shane ran good. So it was a, great team effort. That's what we needed. And, we got a big one next week. I'm going to make this one quick, guys, because I'm going to go see my family.
How about the play of your defense? 4 sacks, Brandon Bolden with the punt, the special teams.
Yep.
How about the job that they did stepping up here?
They were phenomenal. They did a great job. That was the key of the whole game, the way the defense played. We turned it over a couple times, and we always hate doing that. But the defense, the block punt was huge. Interception was huge. And, we kind of got the momentum once we kicked the field goal meet. Had a great kick, and then, the long score to Jules. So, everybody needed to contribute, and everybody did. And, I'm real happy.
How's that been on that take?
It was a bad throw. Just a bad throw.
You get frustrated? What are they doing to frustrate you with their offense, Tom?
Well, they got a good team. They play well at home. They challenged us. They're physical. They're a good rush. They cover well. So we didn't play as well as we would have liked offensively, but that's the NFL. So hopefully we'll be better next week. So thanks, guys.
And that was it. That's all Tom Brady had to say. Very, very quick.
Yeah, see his family.
Very quick. Could have given you a little bit more.
What about my family?
What's that?
Andy's family. Wheels family.
I have family.
Dan Roach's family. Mark Capella's family.
Everyone has family.
Yeah.
Eric doesn't.
And in Brady's defense, I'm not sure Mark Capella's family wants to see him. So.
Yeah. If I were in Mark Capella's family, I wouldn't want to see him. I can guarantee you that.
You are in his family. His 98.5.
I'm in his work family, and I don't want to see him. I kid. I love Mark in a weird kind of way. Scott and Ron Paraselli write in.
Together?
Yeah, that's what it says. It's from Scott. It's from Scott's email account, but he signs it Scott and Ron Paraselli. And here's why. Here's why.
Like-minded?
He writes, maybe we could partner. And he's talking to us, Andy.
Oh.
He and us. My brother and I could join you as fans, and he can drive the Madden Mobile. He has the license and knows how to keep us in one piece, especially if Perillo is hitting the sauce.
I'd be a little more inclined if he had the RV, not just the license.
Right, Scott. How about
if you
the
were bringing
RV?
An RV to the
how
table?
How about the vehicle itself? If you were volunteering the vehicle,
you might have an in.
We'll worry about drivers later.
Right. How hard can it be? The right one's the gas, the left one's the brake.
Andy, how old's your son?
7.
He'll be sober.
Right.
Give him the keys.
Be like those NBA commercials on ESPN. Who's driving? Ah, Jackson's got it.
Do you remember Jeff Van Gundy? What?
Oh, boy. Mike and Sodak writes in, wow, what a great defensive matchup. Glad we pulled it out. Can't say enough about the defense tonight. Only saw Revis once this game. Jamie Collins was amazing. Couldn't say enough about him a couple of weeks ago. Now I'm so impressed. And when he says can't say enough, I think he was saying in a negative way. Getting sacks, calling plays. He gave up one in coverage, but no one's perfect. I think I know what my next jersey is going to say. Ninkovich, great game with a couple of sacks. Really impressive defensive performance. The offense pulled one out, but until the fourth quarter, I wouldn't call this an impressive win. Solder got ate up, and they got way too much pressure up the middle.
Well, they were losing until the fourth quarter.
I thought they
what
should
did
have
they
gone.
Finish with for total offense? Brady threw for 3 and change.
317, he had 397, I believe, total yards.
But as Mike brings up at the end of his email, one of his biggest questions with the offensive play calling is why didn't the team go no huddle prior to the fourth quarter? San Diego thrives on switching off players and keeping their defense fresh. Why let them do it almost all of the game? Why?
It's relatively impressive to put up 400 yards of total offense in three quarters. They took a quarter off.
I mean, you could argue that they took three quarters off. But, yeah, I mean, offensively, they did not look good today. I think it's hard to go no huddle when you're going three and out every possession.
Right.
Yes.
By the way.
Rachel,
you can only put so much pressure on your defense. You were putting some pressure on your defense. Now, they responded.
They went four straight possessions going four and going three and out, correct?
Yes.
I mean,
four possessions.
Not a lot you can
12 plays, zero first downs.
Rachel writes in, so how was Solder at tight end? Because what happens if this offensive line thing doesn't work out for him?
They're screwed. Because they don't have a backup tackle, right? Cameron Fleming's hurt and Marcus Cannon can't.
What is Cameron Fleming's status? You got anything on that?
He's out of a walking boot. He's practicing on a limited basis. I would assume he may be in the mix next week.
That's a good thing.
But you know he's not a starting caliber offensive lineman, really. Like he's never, he's also a right tackle.
I don't care. The role they used play, him as the sixth first offensive lineman was terrific.
Oh yeah, I think that's getting drastically overblown too. I think that he no,
the
I think
contrarian Paul Perillo.
No, I think he was terrific
Mini
that night.
Over here.
I think he was terrific in that role that night against a absolutely abysmal run defense. I think if you put him out there against Denver as the sixth offensive lineman, I don't think they're running for 240. I think that Indianapolis was a big part of why everything looked so good running the ball that night. That's all I'm saying.
Didn't Marcus Cannon suck in that role against a bad defense last week?
But that bad defense didn't play bad last week.
That's because Marcus Cannon sucked. Maybe they would have played bad if Marcus Cannon had played well.
What was the excuse tonight then?
Huh?
What was the excuse tonight then?
They didn't really do that tonight.
They didn't run the ball, is what I'm saying.
Right, but they didn't line up. Well. Marcus Cannon sucked in the role as the extra blocker. For 6 or 7 snaps, he barely played. But he wasn't good in it. That's why he barely played.
But
had
what about all the other
job,
plays that he ran the ball and couldn't run it? We all blaming it on Marcus Cannon, really?
No. But you're confusing two different subjects.
I'm saying that I think they ran the ball really well against the bad run defense, not because of Cameron Fleming.
Who gives a rat's ass?
You're saying that they didn't run it well because Marcus Cannon was the extra guy the next week.
No, I actually didn't. I said Cameron Fleming did a good job in that role blocking 1 week, and Marcus Cannon sucked in that role the next.
Yeah, I don't think he sucked in the role. That's all I'm saying. He played like 5 plays.
I think it was 7, but I'm pretty sure 5 of the 7 were bad.
Paul, he's terrible.
I hate Cannon. I don't want him to play, but I'm just saying.
Then why are you defending Cannon?
I'm not defending Cannon. I'm not canonizing Fleming. I'm not defending Cannon in any way.
Okay, so can you agree?
I think it was circumstantial. They went up against a horrific run defense and ran it down their throat. I think if Cannon was Fleming that day, they'd have run for 245.
But when they went against the 30th-ranked run defense, Cannon sucked.
But it was a different day. It was a whole different – You don't think Green Bay played the same as Indianapolis?
Know. But I think maybe if Cannon didn't suck, you would have been better against the run.
That's all I'm saying that I disagree with. That's the only part that I disagree with.
So you think if Cannon
I don't
had
think
been
it
good,
had anything to do with Cannon.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
He didn't play enough for me to say he had an impact in the game. That's all.
Okay.
He had an impact. He sucked.
That's what I thought.
I agree.
I thought he sucked, and they said, we can't do this anymore. We don't have the extra blocker.
He's a walking, talking penalty or, you know, giving up a sack. It's one of the two things that he does. Whatever.
Now, are you talking about Cannon or Solder?
I'm talking about Cannon.
I know, but Solder, you could say the same thing.
He does one of the two. He either commits a penalty or he gives up pressure.
At least Cannon's just a fifth-round pick, backup offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Solder's your franchise left tackle.
The turnstile.
What was your tweet you got from somebody who wanted, I'd still take Richard Seymour over Nate Solder?
Oh. The tweet was, and let me see if I can find it, because it was worth giving credit for, because it was very humorous. it was... At this point, I would basically rather, and I'm paraphrasing here, rather take Richard Seymour, currently retired, over Nate Solder.
Who's been out of the league for 2 or 3 years now. And did they he probably could play left tackle better than Solder, too.
There might be a chance. Got a lot of skill.
I mean, he's got experience
a lot
as
of
a
experience.
Blocker at fullback.
I got to be able to find that tweet. Come on.
I don't think we really need to find it.
Here it is.
I think you just said it.
Right. He just wants to give credit.
I
to
want
some
to give Twitter
jabroni on
credit
the Twitter
to the person who, but you know what? They don't have an actual name on Twitter. It's like a bunch of just gibberish. So,
and you follow them?
No, I don't follow them. They tweeted to me.
Oh,
just came up in my feed.
Them's your peeps.
Came up in my feed.
Came up in my feed. Our buddy Pat from Agawam can't call us tonight. He explains why. He says, "Real quick, guys, if there's two guys who made a difference tonight, it was Julian Edelman and Jamie Collins. I'd have liked to call in, but the other two older kids are in their room sleeping, and the two others are sleeping in their mother's belly. I'll be at Gillette this Sunday with a Dolphins fan in our clan. I've been waiting for this coming game since around 4:30 on week one. Get the hats and T-shirts ready. Pat from Agawam."
That is appropriate. They can bounce back and sort of redeem themselves by beating the Dolphins to clinch the division. And Bill always talks about
what
that
do you mean,
first.
What do you mean redeem themselves? They won tonight.
No, I mean redeem themselves from getting their ass kicked by the Dolphins in week one.
Oh, for that game.
Yes.
Right. Gotcha.
Redemption.
So, I'm
redemption. It's like Magic Johnson in the 80s.
I gotcha. H writes in. He just signs the email. H. Marcus Cannon is bad.
I agree.
It goes beyond just his last bad game. It goes beyond just this season. Thanks, H.
See,
Mark, I thought he played well last year.
I didn't think he was terrible last year at right tackle. I thought he was fine at right tackle last year.
All right, we need to take our final timeout here on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, and you want to stick around, and here's why. When we come back, we have audio of Brandon Browner in the Patriots locker room, not Brandon Bolden, who we talked to, and we want to thank for taking the time to join us live on the show, but the actual Brandon Browner, who talks about the play that he was flagged on for a helmet-to-helmet hit that was really a shoulder-to-shoulder hit. He'll talk about that. Among other things, including how that play may have helped the Patriots' defense in this game in terms of how they responded. He touches on that. We're going to hear from not only Brandon Browner, we will hear from Rob Gronkowski as well. That is coming up on the Xbox One Patriots postgame show. Microsoft Surface is the official tablet of the NFL. NFL coaches and players across the league use their Surface tablet to influence the next big play call. And with a Surface tablet at home, you can do the same in your fantasy league. Surface, trusted by the NFL, built for the fans. Do more. Stay tuned. More on the way.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Hey, what kind of sub is that?
It's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami.
Subway Big Hot Pastrami?
No. Pastrami.
Pastrami!
What? Hey, get back here! Pastrami!
No, pastrami!
Look, it's the Subway Big Hot Pastrami!
Want to split it?
A little late for that.
Get your own Subway Big Hot Pastrami Melt, a monument to flavor loaded with dry rub, pepper-crusted beef, and melty cheese. Enjoy yours with mustard and pickles. Subway, eat fresh.
Limited time only. Visit participating restaurants.
Ask the rest of the country what comes to mind when they think of New England. The answer isn't Paul Revere or tri-corner hats, maple syrup or Walden Woods. They now think of dominance. The success of the sleeveless hoodie. Three Super Bowl championships, AFC East champions 10 out of the past 12 years, the first NFL dynasty of the millennium. So while the other 44 states now think of us more for our wins than clam chowder, that's fine. Just ask anybody here. The Pats are all we think about, too. Gillette is proud to have played a role in the ascent of the New England Patriots, our New England Patriots. Because the logo hanging high above Gillette Stadium isn't just team sponsorship. It's our declaration of allegiance to the fans from Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. The New Englanders that have helped make Gillette what we are today. From Boston for New England, we're Gillette, the best a man can get.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. The New England Patriots are back in action, and Ace Ticket, the Patriots' official fan travel partner, is behind the team, from Foxborough all the way to Arizona. Ace Ticket is your official home for all Boston sports tickets, with free and easy pickup in Kenmore Square, across from the Boston Garden, or game day pickup at Patriot Place. So treat yourself or impress someone. Go to aceticket.com or call 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Before Jenny met her new nephew, Wyatt, before she drove to New York, and before she picked up a Boston Red Sox onesie down the street from her Alston studio, Jenny got 1% back on tires, 2% back on snacks, and 3% back on gas using her Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. So Jenny got ready to do what she loved with cash rewards she liked. That's the power of the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. That's Bank of America. Life's better when we're connected. With the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, you can earn 1% cash back on all purchases all the time. 2% cash back on groceries and 3% cash back on gas. Apply today at bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Grocery and gas bonus rewards apply to 1,500 in combined purchases each quarter. Call 1-888-224-8735 for details about credit costs and terms. Copyright 2013 Bank of America Corporation.
Xbox One is not only a game console, but the home entertainment system every fantasy football fan needs. The NFL on Xbox One is your connection to all things fantasy, giving you personalized news, highlights, stats, and scores instantly on your TV. Watching your favorite team play on Sunday, but wondering how your fantasy players are doing? With built-in fantasy football, track your updates on TV in real time across NFL.com fantasy leagues, all while still watching live games. Xbox One, bringing fantasy football to your TV. Now available for $349 at a Microsoft store near you.
NFL Mobile from Verizon is perfect for a guy like me. At home or on the go, NFL Mobile keeps me connected to all the action across the league. I can watch live NFL games on Thursday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Track player and team news, player tweets, watch NFL Network 24/7 and more. Plus, with NFL Mobile, I have real-time access to NFL Red Zone, so I can watch every touchdown from every game on Sunday afternoons. So I'll never be without football. Especially when Jaws and Muffin can't find that oh-so-perfect spot. Oh, hold up. Go, go. That's it. Come on, kick it into hyperdrive. Touchdown!
Get NFL Mobile on America's largest 4G LTE network and discover why more people choose Verizon than any other network. Call ** NFL to download NFL Mobile now. Verizon, official wireless provider of the New England Patriots.
Airtime message and data usage applies. Available on select smartphones. Coverage not available everywhere. Don't call or text while driving.
Have a hot take on today's Patriots game? Hit up Mark, Paul, and Andy on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 855-PATS-500 or email the show at webradio at patriots.com. Now, back to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show, live from the Subway Fresh broadcast studios inside Gillette Stadium. Here's your host, Mark the Beetle Bertrand.
We got about 10 minutes to go here on the program. We are going to hear from Brandon Browner. That's coming up after we talk to Barry in Cali. What's up, Barry?
Hey, guys. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. What's up?
Hey, I got a question, but I have just a couple comments before that. This Brady's passes looked really terrible tonight, especially in the second half. I mean, he was just off. He was worrying me.
That's not a coincidence that I think the last 2 weeks his passes have been a little off. In the last 2 weeks, he's had a lot of pressure. We've been talking about it. Solder has struggled getting, you know, pressure from the backside there, giving up the corner. And I think Brady's been adversely affected by it.
And my question is, do you remember the play when Chargers had the ball and Rivers was running with the ball? And I thought we thought he crossed the line of scrimmage and then he tossed the ball. Do you remember that?
Yeah, he didn't pass the line of scrimmage.
Didn't pass the line. We thought he did.
No,
okay.
He got up to the line. It was close. But
it was close.
Just as a point of clarification, you need to be completely past the line of scrimmage on those plays. If any part of your body is not crossed the line, it's considered a legal pass. So even if the ball was over the line, but his back foot was still there. Now, I don't think it was that close on that play. I think he got right up to the line. He tried to shovel it forward, but it didn't matter anyway. It was an incomplete pass.
And just one more comment: the defense has been awesome the last 2 weeks. They just they kept us in the game, and the offense really needs to work on against Miami.
Yeah, no question. The offense is in a little bit of a downward trending funk over the last couple weeks, and they need to pick it up a little bit. But I will say the defense is better. And the defense, I mean, think about it. Chandler Jones, gone. Jerod Mayo, gone. Tonight, Dante Hightower, gone. And they put up a very impressive effort.
I guess a pretty good offense,
right?
Too. Maybe not like a Denver or an Indy or a Green Bay, but this is a pretty good offense.
But also not Jacksonville.
No, it's a pretty good offense. They did that against tonight.
And a good quarterback.
On the road,
a good quarterback. And I think it's
three to four good pass catchers.
Yes.
In that offense.
Yes.
A running back in Ryan Matthews, who is sometimes hard to contend with.
Sure.
Right? Versatile guy. They got some guys, and they got a quarterback who has played well and has had a bit of a resurgence.
Yep.
The last couple of years.
And you took
care of it. That's a legit offense.
And I think you're just seeing, when you have a guy like Darrell Revis, when you have a couple guys that can cover, everything else just can be better, can fall into place. Because, you know, you have Jonathan Casillas out there.
And you know how we've been...
Akeem Ayers is out there. Chris Jones is still out there. You know, these guys are not elite players by any stretch of the imagination.
Dave's in Connecticut. He's up next. Hi, Dave.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's going on?
Hey. Guys, you know what? A win's a win. We're 10-3 right now. We're sitting in that catbird seat, and that's a beautiful thing, you know, with three games left here. You know, we get ready for the Miami game. I agree with everyone saying. I think, you know, great win by the defense, and it's nice to see the defense can, you know, do that, stop a – kind of, that was a very dominating game by them. It really was. It was nice to see that. Offensively, I agree with you. We played like three quarters and we still put up like 370 yards.
The offense wasn't very good tonight, though.
Based on our offensive line, it really is. I agree 100%. The last couple of weeks, we regressed offensively, you know, because of our offensive line. And I think we'll get that fixed going into the playoffs. You know, I think with that, you know, some people coming back from injury, it's going to help.
Yeah, that's what actually concerns me is I don't know what's going to make it better other than just playing better, because that's your five. That's you no longer have Devy and Cannon and this guy rotating and waiting for Stork. You know, those are your five guys out there, and that left tackle is supposed to be the best guy on your line, not the worst.
Yeah, he's had a rough couple of weeks. He's had a rough, let's be honest, he's had a rough season.
Yeah.
That's not just, he's had a rough couple of weeks.
So why, you know, that's my concern is why is that, how is that going to get better? And it might, I don't know, but
I don't know. I mean, can you swing your back over there to add a protection or your tight end? I mean, I don't know
well, that's not making it better though. That's just covering up a problem. And that's not what I'm looking to do. I'm not looking to change my game plan because my left tackle can't block a 15-year veteran pass rusher like Dwight Freeney or something. Right. I mean,
right.
Now you're losing options elsewhere.
As promised, let's hear from Brandon Browner. He talks about that penalty that happened in the game tonight. That's obviously something that I think fans will still be talking about in a couple of days. Kind of a controversial call in this game. Here's what Brandon Browner had to say after the game.
And goes, you know, because you took away a hard effort play. That's all it was, hard effort.
When you're making a play like that, are you specifically aiming shoulder to shoulder? Is that something that you...
Most definitely, yeah. Lead with my shoulder. Most definitely, target is his numbers.
You feel like that fired up the defense after they saw that play. It seemed like you guys were more fired up after that happened.
I think it did. Like I told him earlier, I think it did. You know, it was a penalty or whatnot, but it set the tone up.
Brandon, obviously, it happened very quickly. What happened on the pass? What do you remember about?
We're in thirds, you know, and. My guy, you know, on my third, he set short, so it gave me time to check for the crosser coming over. And I happened to get there at the same time as he got there, as the ball got there.
How do you feel Jamie Collins stepped up?
Man, he balls every week, you know what I mean? He's one of the underrated players on this football team. You know, he's fast, athletic. He can get out there and cover with some of these good tight ends. You know, he's awesome.
Did Dante talk to you guys before the game? Like, when did you find out he wasn't
going to
be playing?
Yeah. Kind of knew, you know, throughout the week, you know, he was kind of banged up. But he did his job on the sideline, you know, with communication, seeing things from the sideline and iterating that back to us on the field. So
there's Brandon Browner after the win tonight for the Pats. And as he said, he thought it fired up the team when they had that call go against them. And, Paul, get ready for it this week. You're going to be hearing that.
I just think it does a little bit of a disservice to the overall performance of the defense because I thought they were pretty fired up from the first play of the game, and I thought they played – I didn't notice an uptick in intensity after that. I saw a continuation of the intensity that they started the game with. I thought they were outstanding from wire to wire defensively tonight. The one thing that I would pick nits with on the on his description, I think it was a terrible call. We've talked about it already. He did hit him with his shoulder. He led with his shoulder. I think they called him for the hit on a defenseless receiver high. He says he's targeting the numbers. He didn't hit the numbers. He was up much higher than the numbers. Now, again, I don't think he hit him in the head, and I just think that's football. I think you have to let them play some football. But I didn't necessarily think that was he targeted the numbers on that play.
And also, let's hear from Rob Gronkowski and what he had to say again after this win tonight in San Diego for the Pats.
Great. We won. It was a great team win. It was awesome.
Defense gave you an emotional lift tonight?
Yeah, no doubt. Our defense played unbelievable. They were stopping them left and right, third downs, whatever it was, interceptions. You got to give huge props to our defense. Unbelievable outcome they did. They're very good, very talented, and it was a great team win overall, too.
How big was that
block punt by your guy? Huge. Bolden made a great play. He's always working on it. We're always working on it, so it's always great to see hard work pay off on special teams. So, got to give him huge props on making that play.
So, there were so many momentum swings in this game. How can you guys stay even keeled and not let it
take? Just like any time, up a lot, down a lot, you got to stay even, and you just got to go out there, take one play at a time. Just like we do throughout the year, take one game at a time, take one play at a time when you're out there. So, just overall, very good team win.
What do you think of their defense?
They're good.
There's Rob Gronkowski, some of the comments that he had to make in the locker room after this win. A good team win for the Patriots on the whole. Now it's next up, Miami, and a chance to win the AFC East.
Hats and T-shirts, baby.
Hats and T-shirt.
Just a quick update off of Twitter. Brandon Browner tweeted out, it's a violent game we play, ! In a critical point in the game, my intentions was to knock the ball loose. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, I read that, and I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I think that's a better explanation than the one he gave in the locker room.
Yeah.
We got a 1 o'clock kickoff next week, fellas. 1 p.m.
Sunday at 1, baby.
Sunday at 1 in Foxborough.
We got 3 1 o'clock kickoffs.
3 1 o'clock kickoffs.
To close it out, baby.
I forget what those are like.
I love those. People are getting amped up for the game. They have to listen to us. They're not watching football.
I'm not distracted watching Red Zone.
What do we have?
You're
one?
Not watching Oakland Raiders linemen catch touchdowns.
We had one p.m. kickoff. In the last 5 games, there has been 1 1 o'clock game.
We're back to the way it should be played.
Right. So 1 o'clock kickoff.
The way Paul Tagliabue intended.
Means a 10:45 pregame?
Yeah, yes. Baby. 10:45 traditional. Can't have Kevin screw it up. 10:45 traditional start.
10:45 PPGS coming next Sunday right here on Patriots.com.
Yeah, Kevin can't just arbitrarily decide what time he wants to have the show start.
Yeah, it's a 10:45 next week. We're telling you right now. Be here then.
And I'm telling you right now, there is no shot in Hades unless Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Darrelle Revis don't fly back to New England of the Dolphins winning here at Gillette Stadium next Sunday.
Okay, you heard it here first. You heard it from Andy. PFW in progress coming up middle of this week. Make sure you tune in for that as well. For Paul Perillo and Andy Hart, I'm Mark Bertrand. Patriots get a win, and it's on to Miami. We'll talk to you again next week.
This has been the Xbox One Patriots postgame show on Patriots.com radio.
Out of the I formation with Devlin, the fullback for Ridley, who takes the handoff, started up the middle, runs it right. A foot race to the 5. Ridley's going to win it to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
Next Sunday, the Patriots return home to take on the Miami Dolphins. Kickoff is set for 1 p.m. Be sure to log on to Patriots.com to tune in to the Xbox One Patriots postgame show with Mark Bertrand immediately following the game.
Brady with a check with me on a 3rd and 4 from the 10. Brady in the pocket, has time to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots! Edelman has it!
For more news, analysis, and reaction to today's game, tune into Patriots.com radio all week long. Log on to Patriots.com anytime for the most up-to-date news and information on your favorite team. We look forward to hearing from you on the next edition of the Xbox One Patriots postgame show.